You know what time it is. It's time for another edition of the Fraudcast. We are live from the Fraud Quarters. This time we're actually incorporating the jerk-off couch, jack-off couch. This is your...
It's two of us on
that's
it.
That's important. It's an important distinction.
Branding, Ben.
Yeah. Soon there's going to be shirts that say jack-off couch.
Couches that say jack-off couch.
Oh,
million-dollar idea.
That might be a billion-dollar idea.
Yes.
Do you want...
A million, nay, billion-dollar idea. You know what's really cool? A billion jack-off couches.
Not a million of them. This is your motorcycle-riding, ear-rapist son of a bitch, Ben. We got to the entire crew live in the Fraud Quarters. We have blogger extraordinaire Vince.
Hi, that's me.
We have the grumpiest man in podcasting, Brett.
I grew up.
Oh, no.
What?
We have to edit
what?
That.
Oh, yeah, you said my whole...
Don't worry, we'll cover it up with a fart.
Anyway, I grew a beard for this.
Kenny Loggins?
I don't like my boss to know what I do on the weekends. Because he thinks, you know, you draw a squirrel, you represent a company when you go outside the squirrel drawing. And, you know, I like to do different things. Sometimes when I'm not drawing squirrels, I do other things. But, you know, I like to put it on my curriculum vitae.
And we do have retired NFL superstar Brendan.
Yeah, I'm back. Yeah. I had a comeback, but then I got cut.
Give it another go.
Yeah, I gave it another go. That's why I was gone the last couple of broadcasts, and then I got cut, so I'm back.
You and Tiki Barber just hanging out.
Yeah.
Trying to find a squad.
Just banging interns.
I saw your agent was dumbfounded that you didn't get any legit offers.
He was, yeah.
Yeah, he's upset.
He's like, all those dick jokes he's been making, he's in tip-top shape.
Have you guys heard his banana phone poop material? It is gold.
Spot on.
Yeah. So this week we've got a bunch of news. We're going to read some emails from you listeners out there, so thank you for sending those in. Vince and I might talk a little bit about Drive since he lifted the Fraudcast Drive embargo from last week. And then at the end, Vince has an interview with Seth Rogen and Will Reiser.
You can hear the most interesting part of that now if you want. It's only like 2 seconds. The thing that sucks about roundtable interviews is, like, you know, I get there and I'm trying to make it interesting and kind of funny, or, you know, just something that's not the normal press tour bullshit that they say in every press tour.
So wait, where was this and what?
It was at a hotel in San Francisco in the Tenderloin, actually, strangely.
Did they give out crack pipes or?
No. Just little paninis.
Oh, nice.
crack paninis.
Did you witness anyone defecating or urinating on the street?
No, that would have been good.
Well, that's what happens out there.
Check that out, Seth Rogen. There's a chick shitting while she smokes crack.
You must have not been looking hard enough.
Well, I was riding my bike, so I just sort of, I put my blinders on and go.
It's like that one.
And it's like barely in the Tenderloin, so I don't have to pass through the Tenderloin proper to get to it.
Do you have one of those little side view mirrors off of your bike helmet?
What, to see people shitting?
No. No, you know the people with the little, it looks like a dental. Like a
I know what you're talking about. But I don't have one of those because I take my helmet off and put it in my backpack. That would just be a whole other apparatus.
I think you could probably fold it in. You could fold that in.
It's not hard to just turn your head around.
And see someone shitting. I don't see how you didn't. It's like that one page in Where's Waldo where everyone's Waldo. That's the Tenderloin. That is the Tenderloin of shitting.
This is striped shirts and
yeah,
poop.
Just constantly everyone, yes. The whole book.
So basically it's like, you know, I think I'm just going to stop doing it unless they give me one-on-one interviews from now on.
Because
I forget how crappy it is. No, just the roundtable interviews. At first it was only 3 people and then like right before everybody shows up and then it's like 6 people in the fucking round table. And so like, I'll go first and I keep it light. I ask him like a funny question. And then someone immediately just like drags it down being like, so what do you think about the overtones? Blah, 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 blah. And then they immediately go into, well, my character is different than me in this way. And it's like, how do you not know that?
What if they let you jujitsu them if they asked a bad question?
That would be good.
Okay. Well, now we're talking.
Vince would like that.
No worthwhile sentence has ever started with my character.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm just going to derail this thing right now. We're in the new Fraud Quarters. I don't know if you knew this. This is big news, guys. We're in the new Fraud Quarters. It's located exactly 1 room over from the old Fraud Quarters.
It shares a wall.
It shares a wall, and I'm just kind of taking it all in here. A couple things. Vince has a kitty of the month calendar. This is not a joke. It's this kitty in particular.
I like
has,
kitty of
has
m- the month calendar.
A plaid bow. It's a black watch plaid.
Who's your favorite, Vince? Is
with,
it September?
With a big floppy hat. Hold on, you guys.
October's pretty good. October
he's
has
got,
a feather boa.
He's got a couple things on the calendar.
What's the Jewish star doing on there?
Yeah, it's on Rosh Hashanah. He actually drew a Jewish star on Rosh Hashanah.
Amy drew that, but close enough.
Yeah. And then he's also got like something posted to the wall. It looks like a list of reminders. Department of Education.
That's where my student loan payments go.
Right, right. And then he's also got Sundance Press deadline. Come on, who are you kidding?
Well, that was...
That hits hard.
It doesn't hit hard. That was just from like 8 months ago, and I still have it on my wall.
Just hoping they still call you back?
Yeah.
Any day now could be your big
please. Break. Please, I want to see Morgan Spurlock's movie. I want to interview Morgan Spurlock.
I want to be in on that round table. Yeah. I could only imagine, because I hate things like that. So
oh, it's awful.
I would have such a hard time not screaming at people during those round tables. Yeah. I would get banned round table.
I'll put the whole thing at the end, but this is just like the first like minute where I ask my question, and it's kind of funny, and then it just immediately goes fucking straight downhill.
I cannot think of a worse
part of the job. It's part of the job,
that's
I would
Rogan.
Say.
I mean, we're talking a lot about our friendship, yeah, so it's yeah. a little bit easier.
On the grand scale of stuff to talk
He's
about.
A much bigger dude than you'd expect.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not that bad, but it's not the most fun aspect of what we do by any means. But, yeah, it's
if
okay.
We were having to talk about the Holocaust.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. That's why we haven't made a movie like that.
Yeah.
That's the
no
only
Holocaust
reason.
No movie's about, like, an abortion clinic.
Yeah, exactly. Just we just don't want to talk about that all day. But cancer is fine.
Yeah.
Do you guys have any tricks or things to kind of keep things
should have
kind of lively
fast
if the question comes up or forget one? Okay.
I do a little bit.
Joe didn't have to lose any weight.
He didn't have to lose any weight. He might have even gained weight, I think.
No, son of a bitch, now yes. I missed it.
Do you guys have any tricks or things to kind of keep
Sorry.
Things kind of lively?
I should have edited this a little better.
Cocaine.
Yeah, exactly. As you can tell, Will is very high on
cocaine. My question is for Seth. I was just wondering, do you think it's fucked up that you lost all this weight and, you know, Joseph Gordon-Levitt still gets to play the cancer patient?
I do a little bit.
You'd be a great stand-up audience member.
Joe didn't have to lose any weight.
He didn't have to lose any weight. He might even gain
him
weight,
and Justin.
He sounds like a flooded engine.
Yes, I do.
And sub question, are you worried about getting typecast as the guy whose friend has cancer?
I am worried about it, but I think, you know, I'll do three more movies about that, and then I'll call it a day.
And here's where it goes.
I have a few more diseases.
Here's where we go with left.
Yeah, well, this is a franchise. So
exactly, yeah. It's like Lord of the Rings.
So, the movie's got an autobiographical element to it, from what I've read. And I'm just wondering how much of Adam's character...
I hated that
really
question before he got halfway through it.
I know, right?
Is...
So that's press tours. That's press roundtables in a nutshell. It's like it's going good, and then left turn, and like, ah, fuck.
Haha, we're all having so much fun. So anyway, as I was thinking.
So it's essentially a bunch of douchebags sitting around trying to impress famous people with how clever they can
yes,
be.
Right. Yes, yes. Yeah. Well, no, but
or how much they read out of a press release, right?
Yeah, that's so, more of the... Well, it's more just them asking like super serious journalism school questions where it's like,
really?
I'm going to be Edward R. fucking Murrow and the...
with their little hats with the little... what is the sticker
the press
on their
card.
Green
yeah,
visor.
Is that what it is?
The press card?
Yeah, fedora with a little post-it note. This is press on the side. Yeah.
So do you get to really meet them or anything, or do you just show up and...
You show up and you say, hey, I'm... Bill, I'm Steve, I'm Tom, I'm retard, fart feather, I'm Indian.
And then
it's like, I'm sure, like, really, they're going to remember everybody's names?
Well, not that they're
That's a good question, Joe.
Why does it know if it was a little more casual or if it's...
I mean, it's casual, but it's not like...
Do you get to touch their face?
Like, you can take pictures with them if you want.
Can
but
you touch
like,
their face while you take
I've never
picture?
Tried. I bet I probably could.
Oh, I bet it's...
It's like, have you ever had a man get intimate with you? Let me choke you.
Seth, do you know jiu-jitsu very well?
I don't like Brendan in my room. He's just sitting around going through all my crap.
I'm looking at Vince's set list from last night. It says...
That's from like a month ago, at least.
It's not okay. even new. It's not even new, Brendan.
It says intro drip down. Hobos.
Oh, that's from like 4 years ago.
Well, then we'll look at the evolution of a stand-up comedian. Oh, my God. It's got all of them. Intro drip down. Hobos, hobo erotic. Cell phone on bus. Pillsbury dash credit. Then shoehorned in here, means. Like insertions, white cum or white corn.
I don't remember.
Then four dummies. Then darts hyphen raccoon vagina. Date rape. Joe AIDS.
I actually don't even remember what these
Joe,
were.
Joe
to.
AIDS is the Joe Millionaire joke. Remember the show Joe Millionaire where they date the average guy and they find out he's a millionaire?
Oh, yeah, that was,
and
yeah, like
that was a great joke. And then
like
except it's like they're dating the whole time and they've been having sex and it's like, he actually has AIDS.
that was a good bit. I forgot about that one.
Then he just has drooling vegetables, incontinent mongoloids.
I had one there. I there was one page. I didn't remember what it was, and it was just said two things on it, and it was just one phrase, and it just said bottle of tequila, three snow tires, and a dildo, and that was like the only thing on the entire notebook page,
right in the middle,
right in the middle of the page. I had no idea what it referred to. It might have been something that I thought of while I was asleep, and I just woke up and wrote down on a notepad.
Makes a lot of sense
secret.
To me. Yeah.
You're not talking into the microphone either.
This looks like all work stuff. Boring. I think I only found one set list.
Well, so Vince,
what does the work stuff say? Remember to hit the letter key.
It's probably like work stuff from when I worked at that.
Use the letter key.
Something like Flash.
That company shall remain nameless.
Doing stuff in Flash. New mags, possibilities, amigos, senior, Asian, big church.
Oh fuck! Oh, God, this is bringing
that's
back horrible
definitely,
memories.
Yeah, that's definitely the thing you worked for. Shall remain nameless. Oh, this is good.
So, Vince, imagine being Seth Rogen at these roundtables.
Oh, it's got to be awful for them, too.
Do you think if you brought back Joe AIDS, people would get the reference? Or would
totally.
Be like, what the hell is Joe Millionaire? Would they even remember?
They'd probably remember.
I don't remember the darts raccoon vagina joke.
I don't either.
Yeah. Sorry.
I didn't even remember Joe AIDS until you reminded me.
Joe AIDS was gold, man. That was a great joke.
Thank you.
That was golden.
Yeah. Yeah. I have other reality show jokes that are very similar, but yeah.
Joe Cancer?
Joe AIDS.
you yeah. actually
but
got
speaking of work, awful work stuff, I did have a news story that funnels right into that, like a beer bong to your vagina. And this was the title of some social media expert's presentation. And the title of it is Pivoting to Monetize Mobile Hyperlocal Social Gamification by Going Viral in the Cloud.
Is it ironic?
No. Could
you not burp into the microphone, please?
That's how I felt about that.
Okay, fair enough.
All right.
As long as it's a reaction.
It is.
Yeah.
It's not just contempt.
Wow.
It's also a lot of cheese.
That is a long title.
Yeah. I like pivoting. Pivoting doesn't really mean anything.
Well, pivoting is like pivoting,
dropping all your shit in order to do this thing I'm about to tell you about.
Yeah, well, pivoting makes sense in certain contexts where if it's like you're doing one thing, say like there's a company that 5 years ago was trying to do a social network and they're kind of like, well, we're fucked because Facebook is just going to destroy us. So then they like pivot to focus on something small like or something niche. Like
social gamification?
Yeah. I mean, that kind of makes sense, but it's like by making that the first word of the title, that's presuming that like, hey, I know that you make spaghetti, but you need to pivot to monetize hyperlocal gamification.
Vacuum cleaners.
Yeah.
No, blankets.
No, diapers. Diapers is a hot market.
Man, we all had different ideas for tags on that joke. Mm-hmm. It's a bummer.
Yeah.
We are some funny dudes. this logo looks like a dude peeing a piece of paper. From over here. You have to look at it at the side.
Well, it's a mountain with a ribbon on
it. See, like, this is his little face. Over there, and he's like peeing like a cluster of.
I'm sure this is Calvin. This is probably fascinating for the listeners right now.
It's riveting.
Are you going to explain what the article's about, or are we just going
to
stop?
We could listen to it if you want.
Oh, it's audio.
How do you listen to an article?
Thank you very much, Peter. Thank you all for coming out this afternoon.
I haven't listened to this
before. This is really exciting for me. It's really exciting to get to address all of you. And it's kind of bittersweet because I have some bad news.
I call it irony.
After more than 8 years as an open source and free software developer, I'm sad to say that I'm going to be standing down from that role. I feel like the time has come. But I have some good news, and the good news is that I'm going to be moving into a marketing executive role.
I don't care already.
No, that sounds ironic.
Does it?
Yeah.
Well, he's probably opening with a joke.
I wanted to share with you guys a new pitch that I'm really excited about, and I think it's extremely relevant to the work that you're all
right.
Care.
That's
yeah.
That's
he's making
joke.
A joke of it.
Yeah,
it's a joke.
You're making a joke of it.
Did he speak at the F8 conference today?
Dude, are you being sarcastic right now?
Is that the Facebook thing?
Yeah.
What do they do with that?
It's just like they
high five.
They offer a lot of high new features, and then also what they offer to all the developers, because that's its own kind of
people
thing.
People pretend to get excited about
its
it.
Own ecosystem. Is as it people
F,
say.
Is it F8 or is it Fate? Is it like supposed to be some?
Oh man, you just blew my mind.
No, but is it supposed to be red like Skate or Die, dude? Or
no, it's F8.
Fate or Die, Facebook. What's up?
Fate or Die, Facebookers. They, Andy Samberg was there pretending to be Mark Zuckerberg is so funny.
I bet. He probably would have done a better job.
Oh, man, pretending to be the CEO to roast the CEO. Classic.
Classic annual convention. Yeah.
Did they just do that because they're like, well, Jesse Eisenberg played him, and they're almost the same person, so we'll just bring him.
Well, yeah, so later Jesse Eisenberg then played Andy Samberg playing Zuckerberg.
Ooh. That's method.
Wow.
It's meta is what it is.
It's true.
I don't know. I'm sure they have one every year, just like any big company has some big ridiculous conference.
Yeah, Apple's got the Worldwide Developers Conference and all that shit. You know.
Yeah. Any big Oracle World here in San Francisco.
What does Oracle do nowadays?
It's all database stuff. Database.
They make shitty software that's integrated in like B2B. It's B2B.
It's well, they most big companies.
Beta breakers?
No. Butt to butt,
yeah. But they're heavy into the butt to butt.
What does B2B mean?
I don't really know. I think it's ABC.
Business to business.
No, I thought it was like there's A, which is, and then C's. I don't fucking know.
Business to business.
All right. Well,
Brent will know.
We got. All right. So we got the high end business,
consumer facing.
We got the high end business stuff, and then this is a more of a blue collar thing. This is a presentation from Walmart that someone was one of the employees was filming with a camera phone, it looks like. And the manager is leading them in a cheer. So you can hear how that goes.
Okay, let's get me a rhythm. Follow me.
Do you have a company cheer or a company like?
Yeah, we had a. It was once a week, and every week I wanted to jump off the building.
Yeah.
At the same time, ironically,
some of the comments on this are classic. One of them is, if you listen closely, you can actually hear their hopes and dreams dying. Like the other top, the other top comment is like, never have I been so motivated to go to college.
That's the thing too. Not that any cheer is any ever going to be enjoyable, but when you're a $9.75 an hour cleaning up after like people vomiting in the aisle,
one of a billion employees.
Yeah, I don't think that's any more motivating to be like, we are. I felt that guy's pain.
Yeah, we are
not unionized.
Yes, if you're at Goldman Sachs and you're about to get. Like a $10 million bonus.
Then it's time to bust out.
Oh, fucking A. I will cheer my fucking heart out. Yeah.
I'll cheer my dick off.
Yeah, I will cheer my butt off, my dick off, whatever. Anything. Any body part.
Either way.
But Walmart, I mean, I felt that guy's pain. He was not feeling it.
Dude.
Well, what was your cheer like? I mean, what was it? Was it a cheer? Was it a song? A prayer?
It was just a cheer. It was based off of some like football cheer that someone knew from college.
2, 4, 6, 8. Who do we appreciate? Cole
not
Calls.
Not really. Yeah. Cole Calls, yay! It was just some ridiculous cheer where we would like get quiet and then get loud and everyone was really happy with it. And the whole office would hear us and everyone had a big smile on their face. And then other departments started having a cheer because they wanted to then have their own cheer to compete with our cheer. And
go fuck yourself.
That's how I felt.
Sometimes when I
fuck yourself.
Sometimes when I round my sales team up, we'll end it with a everyone in, with the hand in the middle and go give it a whoa, Bundy.
All right.
We're married with children.
Not as bad.
We're married with children.
I just feel like would work be as bad if people didn't purposely make it so fucking miserable?
Well, so I honestly think a lot of people, whether they truly enjoy it or they think they enjoy it, I think they like feeling a part of the sort of the group. And I just would rather be on my merry way and not interact with anybody.
I like to make other people's day more miserable.
Sure, yeah.
That's a big part of my day.
Yeah, like really bad farts.
That explains Brett's the type of porn that Brett likes also.
Hey, work and pleasure, man. Hand in hand. Hand in hand, crying their eyes out.
Literally.
While getting fucked.
Literally hand in hand. Dick in hand?
Dick in hand.
Yeah, so I think most people, most people either just go along with it with a smile on their face, or I do think a lot of people truly enjoy that ridiculous, like, hey, everybody, we're part of a fun team. Look at how much fun we're having. And I just am miserable beyond belief.
Yeah. That's a special kind of denial, right? The super happy, like, I don't know why you listen to sad music. I only like happy music.
That's just like, cut myself quietly
on the inner thigh.
Yeah, Brett's like, shut up, I'm listening to Morrissey. I'm here.
Sorry.
What's wrong with I like happy music?
Yeah, but I like.
What does that have to do with him? With blood,
but
singing?
You're not constantly telling me how much you like happy music. You have proclivities towards happy music.
That's true. I am proclive.
And frankly, I like most of the happy music you like because it's ridiculous and
Vince is very major chord oriented.
It's true. It's true.
Deeply.
Space Unicorn. That's my jam.
Yeah.
Yep.
Not nary a minor chord to be found in there.
No, I don't like them.
But
they make me sad.
Here's the difference. You're not listening to inspirational. There's no inspiration in your happy music.
That's true.
Space Unicorn inspires me to.
It inspires me to do all sorts of things.
Yeah, but mainly space travel.
Mainly take my pants off at the playground.
Well, there isn't a song you've listened to that did not make
true,
you want to do that.
True.
Man, you guys.
Metallica mostly. You, kill
pretty
them
much
all.
Any audio stimulus will make Brendan drop trout and approach children.
Yeah.
All right, it's just facts are facts.
You guys, what were we talking about?
You guys want some emails?
Yeah.
We got some good ones. This one.
Yeah!
Yeah, we want some emails!
This one was more earnest than we're used to, but I enjoyed it.
Did he sign it with, you know what I mean, Vern?
Jesus.
You know what I mean?
That was good. That was good.
I didn't get that at first.
That was weird how
that was
you
my
had
own,
that holstered. That was
that
weird.
Was my
you
own
ready
joke.
For that.
That was my own joke. I don't know if that was funny or not.
Time is a total dillweed, you guys. Or coriander is a total
coriander
dillweed.
Coriander is a total dillweed. No, no. I know that was a joke. I stand by that.
All right. So this one, I make no apologies for the lack of comedic content in this. I just liked it.
Are we in trouble?
No.
Are we being scolded?
No.
Is it my mom?
Dear Frogcast, I wanted to thank you guys for the entertainment. Your podcast has coincided with the rather turbulent time in my post-college life. On Friday, I said goodbye to the girl I hope to one day marry as she left for a 9-month job in Austria. Getting into my car in the airport parking garage, I was pleasantly surprised that I had a brand new Frogcast loaded onto my MP3 player. Space Unicorn began playing, and I cracked the first genuine smile of the day. Of course, another wave of sadness quickly overtook me, and I began to cry again. I'm sure if somebody had been walking past my car, they would have been confused to the scene of a 23-year-old sobbing while Space Unicorn was playing at full blast on his car speakers.
Wait till you turn 30.
Yeah, seriously. Contrary to your belief, it is possible to be sad while that song is playing. On the long drive home, I relied on you guys to keep my spirits high, and you did as good a job as anyone could have. I wanted to let you know my appreciation for what you guys do. I've lost all interest in other podcasts. You simply can't feign the authenticity of dicking around for an hour and a half with your best friends and broadcasting it to the world. In summation, I had a bad day. I'm taking one down. I sang a sad song, and the broadcast turned it around. Drunk on Chris. I thought that was...
That's nice. That makes me feel really good.
I know, right?
Thanks.
Was it
Chris Tim or Chris Mike?
Chris Tim Mike.
Chris Tim Mike.
It made me feel all warm inside, like as if I was listening to Space Unicorn.
Uh-oh, here it comes.
No, I'm not going to play it. I was going to the next email.
What's he doing, guys?
You had that mouse and dedication where you're just moving a finger with intent.
You had a very determined look.
You look like Casey Kasem over there.
I'm going to hit a button.
This next song.
That earnest.
Space Unicorn is going all the way to number one.
And that email segued nicely into our next one, which is Do you guys have any knowledge on how to get female cum stains off your pants? I asked this question because one afternoon, after fucking this girl I've been seeing for a while, I noticed she had completely creamed over my pants. And obviously, you guys must be thinking, why the fuck didn't you take off your pants completely?
Honestly, that's what I was just thinking. I'm not even kidding.
Ben,
like, wait.
Ben had this look at his hand, like partially raised, like he's like in the middle of a sentence. Like, but why didn't you take off your pants completely?
Why were your pants on? I think that's the first question we need to ask. Well, but proceed.
Well, I think we're gonna get an answer, Vince.
All I have to say is I was trying to pull a quick one with her parents in the next room.
Boom. Good answer.
Pretty good answer. Sure. Pretty good answer. But back to the question. With your combined experience, do you know of some magical liquid that can be a quick fix to save you from future embarrassments of having lady jizz stains all over my pants?
No way. This is like the most bitch-made email ever. A, if you really want to fix it, get a Tide stick. B, you keep them there so that when someone goes, hey, what's that? You go, bitches cum stains.
Yeah, it's like twat camouflage.
Yeah.
What?
When you're walking through the twat jungle, you want to have twats. All stains all over you, just in case the other twats you blend in with them.
Shut up, Mom. I told you it was pussy juice.
I'm just a little confused by the whole.
That was weird.
What color is isn't lady jizz largely clear?
No, it leaves like a little salt stain around. If you got.
Like a snail?
No. So like the area which it's like a high watermark of lady lube, and that's where there's like a little salty edge.
This is the farthest place that she snail crawled to.
This is the best you'll ever be.
Wow. Yeah, I
this is where she hiked up her skirt and dry humped my leg.
I really like imagining the stains on his knee. Weird.
On the cuffs.
It's like, oh, like he went waiting.
Like in Fight Club when he's got the dish glove on. Yeah, and he's right. Like, yeah, you want
to finish her off?
Yeah. That's always good. Anything rubber?
Yeah, I'm a little confused. I would need some sort of reenact. Is that from Tim Mike or Mike Tim?
That's from Tam.
Tam Mike.
No, this is Alex from Chicago.
Oh, Tam Mike.
I would
need some
Chicago
sort of reenactment. I'm just confused on, like, that it entails his penis was just out of his fly?
He probably just popped the fly and went to town.
That is a dangerous situation.
He did say jeans.
Yeah, you got to.
Yeah.
Really, so he just left the button on and.
No, he said pants. He didn't say jeans.
Oh, okay.
But I'm just so confused.
One time,
I would need some sort of reenactment.
One time while I was fixing fences in my manual labor phase. I drove the 4-track with the barbed wire wrapped around the fence post, and it turns out that's like just chainsaws it, right? Just chop the fence post right down. That could happen to your dick.
With the zipper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Think about it.
Hey, you saw
think
that,
about it.
Did you see that documentary, There's Something About Mary? that was about genital damage. It's a documentary.
There's something about Mary?
There was something about her.
Now she's dead now?
Now she well she looks she actually turned into the Joker. Well,
she had cum in her hair. That was there was something about her.
Oh, that's right. So it wasn't on the jeans, it was in her hair.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. It was. And then he said, my second question is
sub question
or
second question?
Would it be at all possible to bring back some koi skin prank calls because they have been some of the funniest? I would like to. My friend who I forgot what fake name I gave him, but
John, it was just John.
John. Well, he is brilliant at those. And he's really the only one that can make those consistently funny. I've tried,
yeah,
and
we,
I've failed.
We tried. We watched him do one and then tried it ourselves, and we just kept tripping over each other.
Yeah.
And then he, like, took the phone back and did another one. It was
Give me
that.
The otter
cart.
Give me that.
Children, please.
The otter. I forgot about the otter cart.
Oh, yeah. Do I still have that? I should play that again since we're talking about it. Oh, here we go.
No, the other one was funnier. The fire sleeves. The Fire Sleeves one's pretty golden. Play the Fire Sleeves one.
I don't know where that is. That's further back.
Kids, enough with the amateur hour.
Children, step aside. Let a professional handle this.
That's basically how it was.
Brett, give me the phone.
Yeah,
I don't know. I have Ottercar.
Embarrassing. You just type it. There's a search thing.
No,
right
but
there.
I don't think I don't think I ever named it.
Give me the phone.
Do you want Koiskin Vest 2, Dick Sock, or Ottercar?
It's Koiskin Vest 2. Koiskin Vest 2 is the fire one.
Oh, okay. Oh, is it? All right.
I want an Ottercar.
Hey, good evening, Richard. This is Joey. I'm a return customer, but I'm not going to leave my message twice. You need to fucking listen the first time. the first time I fucking talked to you, the first time I left a message like this, I thought I would never have to leave a message like this on your phone again, but here I find myself. So let me refresh your fucking memory, you stupid piece of shit. I called you about 6 months ago about a badass koi skin vest, and you made me one sleeve. And we had a to-do about one sleeve, and I thought that we'd handle that problem. You responded to my inquiry in a satisfactory manner, and I was very pleased with the work that you did, completing my koi skin vest, transforming it into the most badass koi skin jacket in the koi skin jacket industry it's ever seen. Now I want to revisit the purpose, one of the features that you guaranteed me with this koi skin jacket. One of the reasons that people ride motorcycles wear leathers, things like that, koi skin jackets, it's not for looks, though the koi skin jacket looks great on me. It's for protection, and we talked about heat, abrasion from the road, fire. And you demonstrated the fireproof qualities of koi skin. And that is why I chose you, Richard, you fucking cocksucker, to make my koi skin vest, which was solely for looks, into a koi skin jacket to protect me from fire, because I ride my bike through fire, and you knew this, you fucking asshole. You demonstrated to me that your koi skin was fireproof. And I didn't tell your customers when you fucked up the demonstration and lit your own stupid fucking dreadlocks on fire. You look like Bob Marley's little fucking brother, his fucking cocksucking cancer patient brother, who nobody picked for fucking dodgeball. You're like the little fucking white kid that nobody wants on his dodgeball team, that everybody hits with the ball. You got these stupid fucking dreadlocks. You burn them off your fucking head. Hey, it's a weave. I can tell. I can fucking tell, Richard, you fucking asshole. But I didn't tell anybody that. I didn't tell anybody because I said, this guy's going to make me a fucking koi skin sleeve. You only made one. I remember that, you fucking dick. Let's not revisit that. I still want to remind you. I want you to revisit it, but I'm not going to revisit it because I'm over it. Fuck you. One sleeve. Fuck you. You made me another sleeve. I rode through fire. I thought I had a fireproof koi skin jacket protecting my arms. I know what you fucking did, Richard. Synthetic koi skin is flammable, you motherfucker. I rode through fire on my motorcycle. Sturgis. Fire. Flammable fucking sleeves, Richard. Vest, inflammable. Sleeves, burning like the fucking sun, you piece of shit. Richard, you fucking lit my arms on fire. The fucking synthetic koi skin fused to my skin. I don't have fingers, you cocksucker. I have fucking flippers. I have synthetic koi skin colored flippers that look like toasted marshmallows. I have fucking lobster claws. Lobster boy got nothing on me, you motherfucker. I'm coming for you. I was willing to let one sleeve slide. I'm not willing to let flippers go unnoticed, you fucking asshole. I'm coming for you. I'm coming for your family. I'm gonna take you to the lowest pit of hell where Mussolini and Hitler get beat down and butt fucked by animals. You stupid piece of shit. I hate you. I hope you fucking die.
I like Vince's giggle and surround sound. Yeah, right. We have the giggle on the phone track
and recorded.
And then we have the live giggle.
We have a dual layered.
I think the way he does that is like he comes up with an idea, and it's like, and he has no, like there's no, like he doesn't, it doesn't bother him that it's, like he'll have one idea that he can just sort of tread water while he gets to, and there's no urgency.
Yeah, he's got interesting pause points.
Yeah.
He's not forcing it.
There's no urgency. He just like has an end point, and he just sort of like treads water the whole time.
I did like how watching him do this, he would actually slip into sort of an inarticulate rage. he would get legitimately angry at Richard. just like, oh God, sorry, God. And he'd finish and like come out of character.
So method.
Whenever you play those things, I'm always so curious because he must come back to his office or whatever, his shop, and there's like 200 or whatever you guys leave him, 25 yeah. messages. He's like, God damn.
We always wonder, I mean, that's kind of like the part of about it is we've never gotten any feedback of any kind, and we're just sort of like, what can we're like the most the fun of it is like imagining this guy getting home to his it would always be the challenge to fill up his inbox.
Well, ideally, he has some sort of antiquated physical tape voicemail.
Like,
where he has to go. fast forward.
Oh, yeah. Otter Carp. Fuck you, Koiskin Sleep.
Kansas City faggot.
Yeah.
Oh, and he has to listen to all of them because there might be a customer in there.
What's that?
And he has to listen to all of them because there might be a customer in there. Just yeah. slowly, torturously.
And in reality, a Koiskin jacket would be pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Get those white scales.
Richard, you are the man of the hour. This is White Calling from Big Tom's Aquamamalotos. Richard, I'm calling to inform you that you are the proud winner and lucky new owner of one Chevrolet Otter car. Heyo! Heyo!
Arrugga!
Heyo! Richard, you, the coin man with the dreads, looking stupid, feeling shitty, fat, ugly, dumb, poor. You build coin pools, we give you cars. You're the proud owner of a new Otter car. It runs on anemone shit. It's a renewable resource, Richard, and everyone's going green. Everyone's going green, but you're going brown, Richard. Brown, the color of anemone shit. I hope that you've got a shovel and scuba gear, because to power the Otter car, you must crack open the sea anemone on your fat, bulbous stomach. Pick up the sea anemone refuse with your grubby little fingers. Twist some into your hair, because God knows you must keep that look up. It requires some maintenance, and I appreciate that. And the aquarian mammal automotive industry appreciates that, and that's why we've chosen you, Richard! You as the proud winner of one Otter car. So crack those anemones open, Richard. Grab that refuse, twist some into your hair, and put the rest into the tank and floor it, because you're going driving, buddy, in your brand new Otter car. Where are you going to go? To the dispensary? Do you have a card? Do you give a shit? You going to see your parents? I don't think they want to see you, but drive over anyway, because it's all on the ocean now. You're going green. You're going brown. You're going all kinds of places, Richard. Places you've never been before. Taste success for the first time in your life, courtesy of the sea otter, the sea anemone. And Mike's Aquarian Automotive Mammal Grip. Fuck you.
Have you ever actually seen this guy?
No. I think we've looked up pictures of him on the internet.
Yeah, I was gonna say, it seems to be pretty adamant that he has dreads.
Yeah, I feel like someone looked up a picture of him on the internet, and there was like one picture probably from like 6 years ago that we've probably been ripping on him for.
That he did have dreads.
I guess. I didn't actually see it.
Yeah, white guys with dreads, not a good look.
No, never. That's terrible. If you're a white guy with dreads, you're a terrible person, and I hate you.
Well, that at least you know where you stand with Vince.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just saying, if anybody out there listening doesn't think that's hard, try and leave a funny message with no feedback for like 4 minutes straight. And if it's anywhere near as good as that, please send it to me, because that shit is really hard.
The guitarist from NoFX pushed me at a Pogue show once, and he's a white guy with dreads.
Oh, I feel bad about that.
Dickhead,
now.
Yeah.
Were you making fun of his dreads?
No, I was just standing there.
We'd prove the point. Brendan proved the point. Why do you feel bad about that?
But
I like
NoFX.
You don't have to like them as people.
I like NoFX too. True. And I was like, what the fuck are you pushing me for? He's like, you're really tall. And I'm like, well, then move somewhere else.
I'm an NFL superstar, bitch. my jeans.
Is that what you guys were talking about while I was gone?
No.
Yeah, yeah, we did. We did talk a lot of fake Brendan football stories.
You made up reasons for why I was gone. Because I don't listen to the broadcast.
Ooh. So cool. Yeah. I don't hang out with you guys. I play football. Hang out with the football players.
We used to give you kids like you swirlies.
Fuck are you nerds doing?
Next email. Frotketeers, where do you go to meet women? For some reason, I never got the hang of meeting people at bars.
The morgue.
And internet dating still confuses and befuddles me like a 70-year-old trying to figure out how a VCR works. For reference, I'm only 25. Oh, God, why did I make a VCR joke? Any tips? I know the whole be confident, be yourself spiel, but sometimes I think I'm too Asperger's-y to strike up a conversation. Yeah.
That's from don't ever be yourself.
Take
what you are and then amplify it by three and yell a bunch, right?
Well, the best. So first of all, the best place is always, it's not bars, it's always a house party, even after college.
House parties. That's true. I miss those.
Yeah. So, I mean, find a group of friends that likes to house party a lot.
Yeah.
And
just hang out with high school kids.
Yeah.
Well, you can do that.
Party.
Yeah, they house party. That's because they don't even have a choice.
They can't get into bars. That's the beautiful thing.
Okay. So first of all, I want to say that I don't know how why it'd be hard to get the hang of internet dating, because that seems like it'd be pretty easy.
I never tried it, but I would think that if you just commit to like a month of it and just say like, hey, let's go get some drinks and then let's F.
Yeah.
Everyone I've talked to that's done internet dating has had positive things to say about it. They're
yeah.
Just like,
basically
it
seems like, really easy. Yeah. Too easy.
I clicked on an ad and then I was like knee deep in butt sex.
Yeah.
Wow. Straight for the butt.
Boom. Just like that.
eHarmony matched my vagina to your pussy, so what's up?
What? What?
Your vagina to her pussy.
Oh, damn.
Oh, fair.
Thanks, eHarmony.
Yeah, yeah. I fucked that one up, didn't I?
No, that's...
That would be hot to watch, though.
That's Except would that gray-haired guy with the glasses be there to match him? Yeah.
That's why eHarmony is the best. It matched Vince's vagina with her pussy.
You'll be able to scissor on three levels of compatibility. Our special scissoring algorithm.
The labia, the clitoris.
The double dill.
All
incorporated into our special algorithm.
Fitting perfectly into one another.
Yeah, I would think, I don't know. Yeah, I think you just throw yourself out there and contact everyone you can on the internet dating stuff.
First of all, extracurriculars. I was just saying, like, join any sort of group that meets book club, improv class,
kickball team.
Well, you have to be kind of white and yuppie for that. Pull that one off. Yeah. But
softball, skank brigade.
Yeah, softball,
junior skank brigade.
Yeah,
but honestly, like, I don't know. Mark, Tim, my advice to you is like, seriously, it's not that hard to like walk up to a girl in a bar and just say hi, like buy her a drink or whatever. It's really not that hard. It's kind of like,
I could see that not working out well for some people.
Hey guys, like, I really want to pick up chicks, but I don't want to actually talk to them. What should I do?
Well, yeah, but you're to the point now where you're not obsessed with the idea that you're picking up a chick while trying to pick up a chick. You're comfortable going in and being like, hey, what's up? Oh, no luck? All right, well, see you around. Whereas this person, if they're asking us of all people, is probably going to be like, oh my God, I'm picking up a chick right now. Oh my God.
Well,
oh my God.
Okay.
Oh my
well,
God,
then
oh
in that, okay. So then I guess in that vein, I would tell Mark, Tim to not be afraid to get shot down.
Yeah. Or drink more.
Yeah.
No, but seriously, you're going to have to just not give a fuck.
Yeah.
That a bunch of girls are going to not really respond to you and not give you the time of day.
But I see what he's saying. I think it's more about creating situations where you're constantly in proximity to new women who get to know you without ever feeling like there's a point where you're hitting on them.
Well,
it's just like, we're just in this situation where we have to meet each other, and it's not like, I'm going to hit on you now.
Bars are not the best place because it's a bunch of people that don't really know each other.
Yeah.
Unless you're going there with a big group of friends.
And there's motive. Like, you're there to either get drunk or to have
sex. But at a bar, you're more competing with everyone else in a way, where like a house party or a kickball team is... Something like that is so much more casual.
You basically want to make your life that one eighth grade camping trip you all went on permanently.
But now you have condoms.
Yeah, yeah, which is so much better.
Yeah, condoms and
maybe
weed.
You guys.
Whoa.
I think improv class. I've never been to an improv class, but I assume it's just like a bunch of people getting together that fuck.
Oh, and they're kind of desperate.
Yeah, and kind of like wounded.
Yeah.
Wounded and like they got like weird attention.
I'm
they need
doing...
to be paid attention to.
Yeah. We should all join an improv class.
All right, so what are we saying? Improv class, book club? I always imagine book club.
Or volunteer. Ufford volunteers. That's a pretty good...
Join a church?
Yeah.
Well, you'd get raped by men.
What? What kind of church do you go to?
Is that Ted Haggard's church?
Catholic church. Man rape. It was not as advertised. Yeah.
That actually dovetails really well into our next question.
I just improvised into a...
You did.
Wow.
Boom, you were getting laid.
Boom, by a priest.
You just yes-and it all over our face. And
Nine Hail Marys.
Yes,
your
and.
Face.
Yeah.
I want you to cup your hand and place it on my genitals and say Hail Mary.
But the main thing is you stay positive, never discourage someone from something they're doing. So, you know.
Yes, and?
Okay. So if he started out by praising our Nair conversation and revealing, I once Nair'd my taint zone completely bare. The following 2 weeks resulted in the swampiest of asses that no towel handcrafted from the finest clothes could clear up. Butt hair is essential to living a decently hygienic life.
Do you guys know that both Bernsey and Vince butt-nared themselves?
Brett used to ball-nare
himself. I have in college ball-nared myself because I had heard that will somehow trick a lady into getting them into her mouth.
Wait,
they were just like, so shiny, put those in my mouth.
I can't even resist.
I cannot resist how shiny and smooth your ball sack is.
I've missed
so much.
Quickly
insert that into my mouth.
There's one place that needs to go, and it is into my mouth hole.
I remember we were with one of our friends who is like really, he's kind of dumb and always drunk, and we were making fun of Brett, and he's like, dude, you nair your balls, your kids are going to come out bald.
Wait, Brett, so did it burn?
You can't the first time because I didn't know how long to leave it on. Your nutsack.
You're supposed to take
your
it off before.
Your nutsack skin does not apply to the back of the bottle. Like, you want to cut that shit in half.
So you're not supposed to leave it on for 24 hours?
No, so I think I narrowed my balls twice because it kind of worked the first time. And then.
What, as far as like getting them in a girl's mouth?
Yeah, I got like half a ball in. And only because I was like pushing the issue.
What were you? Did you suck in your dick and you're like raising one ball and hitting her in the cheek with it?
Like real subtle. It was classy.
Hey, come on. These guys want to play too.
And I'm shrugging the whole time. Huh?
Did you notice these? Did you notice these? Don't leave them out of the party.
All right. So here's the problem with narrowing your balls is that hair doesn't stay gone, and then you have ball stubble, and ball stubble is like a mace, like a cat of nine tails, just swinging around.
It's called a flail.
Just lacerating your fucking inner thighs and your taint, just tearing it up.
Think about her vagina skin. As
yeah,
it's just,
yeah.
Or her mouth.
It's like, again, wow, I have two manual labor stories. So when you're weed whacking, right, you want to go weed whacking in the spring because all the plants are full of water and they explode. If you go weed whacking in the fall, all the foxtails are going to explode and just like stab you in the face, right?
Like, yeah. So are you saying it's you should do it after a shower? Is that what
you're... No, I'm just saying that the...
When you weed whack in the fall, it is the same
as...
It is the same as having ball stubble. That is the feeling. Having a bunch of foxtails shot out at high velocity into your face is about the feeling you get from having ball stubble slammed up against your leg.
Fair. All right, so it's...
So wait, you nared your butt?
Yeah, well, my taint butthole area, yeah.
Why?
Because I have a pretty... Like, it's kind of hairy back there, and I was wondering if my life could perhaps be simplified... By having a hairless taint and butt area, like it'd be cleaner wiping, and I would just be on easy street after that.
Did you apply it in the mirror?
No, I didn't apply it in the mirror. No.
Are you sure?
Why would I apply that? That takes the whole point of naring is that you don't have to like look and be all. You just sort of slosh it in there.
No, so you basically wiped your butt with nair.
Yeah,
you're just like problem solved, motherfuckers.
Yeah, yeah,
and
basically.
Then we learned Bernsey. We found out in Bernsey's corner that Bernsey did the same thing.
And did it help? Did it help either of you?
No.
It made
us all swampy and sweaty down there, and it was like, I felt like I needed a male maxi pad in my taint butt. Because it was just like, you don't realize what a sweat catcher that taint hair and butt hair actually is.
Right.
I didn't realize how sweaty my butt actually is, how sweaty and slimy my butt
could be. You learned a valuable lesson. A very valuable lesson.
I did. But yeah, like I said, it's lesson learned. Chalk it up.
You chalk it up to butt
chalk
nair.
It up on the board of life. Yeah. Now we know.
Butt nair causes excessive dripping of sweat from the
butt.
I'm
not sad that I did it. That's just how you learn things in life.
You got to be proud of that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You move on from it.
So here's this guy's question. It's a little long, but, you know, whatever. I don't really know how to edit it. I'm currently drunk but confused about a chick. Last summer, I met a woman while working at a restaurant, a food runner. Super redhead, super cute. We flirt like crazy, and I end up getting some backseat Honda Accord action after a shift one afternoon. After a few more afternoon delights, we both feel out that she's never done something like this, something this forward before, and she decides we should slow down. Relationship time. I'm okay with that, seeing as how a regular trim is worth a few dinners and some hand-holding. But then a demands out of left field starts to come. I think that I will have to put a sick next to that. Apparently, when not getting finger blasted in my car, she's religious. Go fucking figure. She surmises that to set things right with the big G-O-D, that I must come with her to church like a pussy. Or sorry, let me start that again. That was a new sentence.
Come on. I like that sentence.
All right, it gets
that sentence was perfect like the way it was.
It's very little about, change in meaning. Like a pussy, comma.
Hold on. How about you end the sentence with like a pussy and then start
one? Yeah. That's how you edit it.
She surmises that to set things right with the big G-O-D, that I must come to church with her like a pussy. Like a pussy, I go a few times and realize this isn't for me. We fight about this and break up. Don't talk for a few months until I see her in Walmart a few weeks ago. Probably
we are Walmart.
Come to find out she had a bipolar breakdown and had some time in the four-padded wall area. I genuinely feel sorry for her until she starts to talk about finding God again, and I fake a phone call to leave all my groceries in my cart.
Yes, I like that.
Cut to about 4 hours ago. Get a text which reads, "Come on down and hang out at shitty local bar. I'm in a slutty mood." Like a pussy, I take a swing by. I like how he starts a lot of sentences with like a pussy. Like a pussy, comma, I take a swing by and we immediately fall back into our old routine of drink, make out, drink, finger blast, drink, sex, and the Accord.
There's always sex in the car.
Yeah, I like that. I've only had sex in a car like once or twice, and I feel like it kind of sucked.
It's terrible.
Yeah, it's really bad.
It's really tough when you're 6'7".
Yeah, it's tough when you're 5'11", too. However, she's the one to tell me that she doesn't want anything serious and would like to continue this on the down low. I'm skeptical. I think she might be lying to get me back in the flock.
Yep.
Thoughts, views, possible courses of action that I won't even consider?
Honestly,
anything from Brett will be appreciated because he is the obvious poonhound of the group.
Wow. I would have gone with the most sacrilegious, but yeah.
All right, so Brett, lay it on him.
Continue banging this chick.
That's what I say, too.
Yeah, I say continue banging, but it's like, know what you're getting into. You've already told us that she's had a bipolar breakdown and she's a God squatter.
Oh, yeah. If you have pets, out of the question.
Yeah, so it's like, real quick. Dude, you know what you're getting into, so like, we don't want any follow-up emails like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
She killed my dog. It's like, well, you got involved with a religious bipolar redhead.
I would say, honestly, tread lightly. Because you're walking down a dangerous path.
You haven't had possible experience with this, have you?
I don't know, but
possibly a girl that didn't like that you were Jewish, or
well, not specifically, but yeah, I'm just saying with the girls that are a little crazy, you do want to tread lightly because. All of a sudden, she's going to forget about the God stuff if she gets obsessed with you.
Oh, you could be the new God. I double down. I double down. Continue banging this chick. Assert yourself as God.
Bow down to me.
Well, the God squatters a lot of times are the worst because they'll go all crazy and they'll be like, oh my God, I have to like repent. Like, when I was 18, I had this crazy girlfriend who was like that. But it's like when you're 18, you're so stupid. You're just like, oh, she has sex with me. I'll just like do whatever she wants to.
Yeah.
And then... Yeah, I remember she would like get all crazy and like be crazy slutty chick, and then all of a sudden she'd like re-find Jesus, and then that sucked. But then, like three weeks later, he was under the couch. Yeah, but then like 3 weeks later, would you?
Yeah,
it's tough.
I saw him when you were banging me.
It's tough because
I got you.
It's hard to give up that easy sex in the back of the Accord. First of all, find a bed.
Yeah, no, I like that it's on the list. I like that it's like a checklist.
Hey, you want to go to my car? Or?
Drink, finger bang, drink. Accord.
Look, she said she didn't want a relationship this time. I feel that's a lie. I mean, it's a lie, but you take her at her word until it becomes obvious that it's a lie, and then you back out again. Yeah, unless, you know. What are you going to do?
He must be pretty young because you learn all the stupid chick tricks and then you use them against her. Like, so it's like as a woman would do when you're like 18 years old, they like take that little thing and they file it away and they wait for the perfect moment to just play that card.
Yeah.
So he's got to do the same thing where it's like, oh, okay, well, I realize that you understand that we should get married and God wants it to happen. But you told me we hooked up that you didn't want anything serious. Bam.
Yeah.
Owned.
And I'm out.
I just don't want this guy to get murdered.
He's going down the path of murder.
Yeah, there's like you might. Yeah,
the biggest thing that he can't get caught up in is like she needs me because like she's crazy And I think Ufford said it better than me in one of his mailbags the other day, where it's like, the crazy person ends up dragging the same person down. It's never the other way around. It's never the same person propping up the crazy person.
Oh, yeah.
That never happens, ever. So
you never think you're going to be the guy getting in a fight at the Red Lobster, but then suddenly you are. Well, yeah. And you're like, you brought me to this, and it suddenly, makes me so much angrier.
Suddenly
I just
want to
eat my coconut shrimp. Yeah,
suddenly you eat the last Cheddar Bay biscuit, and all hell is broken loose.
But it, I mean, to be fair, Endless Shrimp is right now. Mm-hmm. And it only comes around once a year.
Yeah.
I mean, so, you know, let's be fair to Tim Mike. And his Jesus-loving girlfriend.
His red-headed bride.
Yeah, I would just say be careful. Enjoy the sex in the back of your Accord.
Does she call it Satan twat? Satan crotch?
The twat forest?
Well, she's redhead.
The crazy ones are always the best.
Well, yeah, it's fun.
Hell crotch.
But
hell crotch is good. Yeah. I like that. Hell crotch.
Yeah, so enjoy the hell crotch.
Fire and brimstone.
But I'm just saying,
I mean, I feel like there's a lot of crazy bipolar chicks. She's not necessarily going to murder his dog.
No, just don't get in too deep, because then it's tough to get out sometimes.
Yeah.
That's all. Just saying.
Yeah.
And don't give her a key. Don't give her a key.
Definitely don't give her a key.
No. To the Accord? She could drive that thing.
No, it's her Accord.
She's got her own key to the Accord. That's how I knew it was real.
I got down on one knee. And I gave her a key to my Accord.
And then I finger blasted her.
With a key.
I enjoy that.
What's up, everybody? I'm Derek Fisher from
the Sorry. And then she butt-nared me.
What was that?
What was that? One of the scripts that was playing on my computer? I was using a different browser where I don't have NoScript on. And
dude, how much better is your life after installing NoScript?
Shh.
So much better.
Shut up. That's how I make my money.
Oh. Oh.
Bow down to the hell vagina.
What are we doing? What are we clicking on?
Do you want to talk about?
You kind of let it drop. I thought you had this queued
up. All right, we got a couple options. We got Emmys.
Enemies?
Nope.
We got the guy who was a ghostwriter for a social media professional who got fired and still had the access to the guy's Twitter account.
That's funny.
But you got that. We got the serial killer, the guy who dragged that. That dude behind his truck had a crazy last meal.
Oh, yeah.
And Texas has since canceled, like, final meals for...
I'm morbidly fascinated with last meals. There's, like, a Wikipedia article on, like, last meals of executed inmates.
They have pictures of it and also...
It doesn't have pictures, but it describes what they ate. And it's, like, very strangely fascinating in an extremely, extremely dark way. So what was his last meal?
All right, so this is the...
By the way, like, one of the most heinous crimes ever. Like, if you actually read the details of it, it's disgusting, where they're like, they thought that he, like, wasn't a recognizable human being. They thought it was roadkill because they dragged the guy behind
just
the truck.
Got executed in Texas?
Yeah, he got executed the same day as Troy Davis, so he didn't get quite as many headlines.
This was not Troy Davis.
It was not Troy Davis. It was this white supremacist guy who dragged a guy behind his truck. He chained him up and dragged him behind his truck, and they said that, like, they thought it was roadkill because he was just, like, a bloody mess. It was, like, really gross. But anyway.
And his final meal was two chicken fried steaks, a triple meat bacon cheeseburger, fried okra, a pound of barbecue.
Okra? Really? Okra's going to find its way into your last meal?
Right?
Okra is fucking gross.
Fried okra is a southern thing.
It sucks,
though.
Yeah,
but it's slimy.
You fry up just about anything else. It's better than fried okra. Fried okra, a pound of barbecue, three fajitas, a pint of ice cream. God damn you, auto update. Get the fuck off of my screen.
How awesome would it be if he died from fatness right before they executed him?
A pound of barbecue, three fajitas, a pint of ice cream, a meat lover's pizza, and a slab of peanut butter fudge with crushed peanuts. However, according to reports, he did not eat any of it. And they have since, because Texas is gangster like that, they are not doing... They're not doing last meals anymore.
Oh, they should give you those sandwiches you get on airplanes. Oh, just be Jesus. Like, hey, suck it. Love Texas.
Come on, you're going to be dead soon anyway.
Yeah, this isn't going to help. Isn't going to make it hurt
any
less.
They died at like the same time, basically?
Same day. Well, it's not really news when Texas executes someone, because they're just like, we just execute retards every day.
That's
whatever.
Called weekday morning?
Yeah.
Yeah. But in reality, how many people do they kill in a year?
It's like over, it's like 250 or something like that.
So almost one a day.
Is it that many?
Yeah, it really is.
So that is one a weekday, basically.
I could look it up to see what the actual
number is. I would
like
to know because
Texas loves
because in California, when we spoke about the guy we know from college he supposedly might not get the death penalty, but it sort of doesn't matter in California, is what we learned, because they don't execute anybody. Right. The last time someone was executed was years ago. It's like two people in the last 20 years, or I could be off with that, but it's
We're not exactly awesome with our what's it called? Penitentiary. So our buddy's working for the DA, and all they do all day long is parole
hearings.
Actually,
I was way off. I'm sorry.
10,000 a day.
No.
2.5 people a day.
Since 2010, they've executed 28 people.
It's really hard to execute people.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, that sounds pretty high, 250. Yeah.
It was 250 between 2000 and 2009, so that's what, 10 years?
25 people a year.
Yeah.
That is a totally reasonable number of people.
It's more. It's two a month.
Yeah, it's two a month.
It's one every 2 weeks. That's still a lot.
And how is it lethal injection out there?
Mostly, yeah.
Well, what do you have a choice?
I don't know.
There's some states where you still have a choice. Like Utah, you can still elect for firing squad.
Oh, I would totally do that.
And I think there might be hanging in some states as well.
I would not do that.
Yeah, really? That's like the most...
Firing squad seems totally bad. Well,
hanging's the most
humane.
You
don't swing. They do the trap door so that it breaks your neck right away.
Yeah, that's...
But it doesn't always break your neck, and then you're hanging there by your neck.
And then you mess in your pants.
Yeah, you
Dude,
do
it doesn't
pants.
Matter what way you do it. There's no
firing
clean way.
Firing squad, for sure.
You're going to bleed out.
They're going to shoot you in the head.
They shoot you. They put a target right over your heart.
Oh, in the heart.
Yeah.
You're still going to bleed out if it hits you in the heart.
Yeah, but...
If they get you right in the heart, you die, like, right away.
Not right away.
Well, once it's the blood... Brendan's nodding sagely. Yeah, right
no,
away.
As long as there's still blood in your brain, you're still going to be conscious. Well, so you can't bleed out. You know can't bleed out in less than a minute. You're still going to have blood in your brain.
You know what
keeping
they should
you
do?
Conscious
they
for,
should,
like, a good 15, 20
but
seconds.
But if your heart isn't pumping new blood to the brain, I mean, you're not, like... Like right away, right
it's
away. Like
Why don't they just?
It's better than
lethal injection.
What's it called?
The
gas chamber where you just suffocate.
That
to
one
death.
Sucks. Yeah.
Why don't they just hang them upside down and slit their throat like they do with animals? It's like the most humane way.
Well,
to go.
Yeah, the guillotine's by far the most humane, but it's just messy because then somebody's got to mop that shit up.
Why can't we get like in Game of Thrones, like the big axe guy?
Oh.
Bring me his head.
Wait.
Sir Ilan Payne.
So, crazy spoiler alert! If you haven't seen the Game of Thrones ending-ish episodes, then this will ruin it for you.
Fuck them if they haven't seen that yet.
All right, so
even
about that.
I already watched
it. So I watched it. I watched it starting with the episode, the third to last episode, right? And I'd held off, and you were like, oh my God, Game of Thrones, this is so great. And everyone at work was like, I'm yet. And so I was really careful about not reading anything about it. Because I'm like, all right, if this hits a critical mass, I'll watch it. And I don't want to know anything about it because it's supposed to be pretty intense.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm sitting there watching the second to last episode. And my girlfriend leans over and goes, dude, do you think they just start at the Next Generation because Sean Bean dies? And I pause and I'm like, did he die in real life? And she goes, I don't know what. I just turned to her and I made that sound like when you find out someone's not a pod person.
Soccer?
This is the worst. It was the worst spoiler I've ever been a party to.
Did you grab her hand
and
say why you're hitting yourself?
It was 5 minutes before it happened. She waited till the maximum level of anticipation and just shot my knees out.
Hey, I told you that bitch was no good.
Ultimate spoiler. That's the... I can't even think of anything more spoiler than that.
I know, right?
Anyway, I'd rather get shot in the heart. I'm still standing by that.
Well, then have Game of Pones.
Look, I'm just saying,
for you.
A shot in the heart is not bad. There's no good way to get killed. Like, even if you get...
Self-asserted explosion.
All right, fair enough.
Where would you insert?
No, self-asserted. Like, I'm... Oh!
Well,
I like Patton Oswalt's idea where you jump, climb up on a tall building, but you fill all your pockets with candy first.
Do you eat the candy on the way down?
No, the children do. The children.
No, you're like a pinata.
Oh.
That
would be a.
Do you eat the candy?
Well, that would be a messy way to fish out some candy.
But you know, you gotta like candy.
Well, you're not
candy.
You're not gonna fill your pockets with now and later. You're gonna do the good stuff like Kit Kats and shit.
Like those king size Snicker bars.
Oh God.
Hey, I don't care what anybody says. Almond Joys are the shit.
No doubt. Who doesn't like Almond Joys?
Punk
most
bitches.
People. Yeah.
Brendan. You don't what? You too?
Yeah, I don't like Almond Joys.
I like it.
You like?
I mean, mouse? that would be a
not really.
That would be a low
the
on the list. What
the fuck is wrong with you people?
Yeah, it's just. I mean, I don't like.
Are you black? Are you black licorice fans?
Not really. Ben,
I
mean, it's just so far.
I don't
down
purchase
the list.
It, but I don't dislike it.
You're the only person I've ever met that has neutral feelings towards black licorice.
Yeah, that's enjoyable.
I don't really care either way. One thing I dislike is when my girlfriend calls red licorice licorice because it's not licorice.
No, it's got to be like anise.
Yeah. Stop burping into the goddamn microphone. I hate that.
Not the boss of me.
Yeah, well.
This is his podcast.
Damn it. Am I fired?
All right. So movie related, we got to watch just the tail end of... I don't like that Drew Barrymore, she comes out with a whale movie the same week that Morgan Freeman's dolphin movie comes out. I think that's bullshit. Fucking trying to steal their thunder.
What's hers called? Whale Tail?
Hers?
What?
That's a porno. Look it up.
Whale Tail?
Uh-huh.
Really?
Yeah, because it describes when a chick bends over in a thong and it looks like she has a...
Yeah, we know.
Oh. Ben didn't know. You hear him say
that? Oh, really? You never heard that?
Do you have the whole collection?
Yeah.
Whale Tail 1 through 25. Through 20.
Oh, you beat him to it. Hey, Brendan was like halfway out with the follow-up.
So I just kind
of like the Whale Tail.
I wanted to play part of the trailer because it had some great lines in it.
All right.
As more of the ocean turns solid.
All we need is the cooperation from the governor, but the governor has basically turned his back on the whales.
As more of the ocean turns solid?
We will do...
It's in Alaska. They're trapped in the ice.
It's because whales are pooping too much.
Yeah. Everything we can to help these poor creatures.
Pretty amazing, huh?
The National Guard will pull the icebreaker where it's desperately needed.
The pull should be a piece of cake.
Nothing's that simple in the Arctic.
This is a monumental task. As all
tell me there's a giant robot in this somewhere.
Saving the whales.
Has dropped through the floor. We can't keep up with the ice.
The town of Barrow has shut down as school children and shopkeepers alike furiously work to cut a path to the ocean.
Where's Bam Bam? He's not coming up.
Maybe he's hurt.
You can't go down there. It's too dangerous.
Actually scuba diving with the whales under the ice. Touching its nose.
Belongs to the Soviets.
I'll be damned if I'm going to let the Reds in to save the day.
Then those whales are going to die.
Oh, right. This is the most inspirational movie of all time.
Even though they're big and powerful.
We're gentle.
They're so much like us. We're vulnerable. We get scared. And we need help sometimes, too.
Drew Barrymore is the worst actress ever.
She's terrible.
The worst is that
she talks out of the side of her mouth like
she's
this.
She's the worst actress.
She had a stroke, dude. That's not funny.
No, she didn't.
I don't know. She might have.
I would. If you told me
she
that
got
was
burned on the set of Firestarter.
Oh, Firestarter was decent. She
if
acted
you told me
that
was a Funny or Die parody, I would have 100% believe you.
Yeah.
And the other thing, does Whale Wars making a cameo in that?
No.
They would be
not
big
that
fans.
I know.
They'd be big fans of that movie.
Is this pretty much Blind Side, but with giant
whale
ocean
mammals?
Yeah,
he teaches the whale the pass block.
Obese black children.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Mr. Drew Barrymore, for letting me play on your football team.
This whale's the best left tackle this high school's ever seen.
That whale's changing your life.
That whale scored in the 99th percentile on protective instincts.
You're changing that whale's life. Nope. He's changing mine.
Look at his footwork. He's going to be the best left tackle in the world I've ever seen.
So you want to talk about Drive at all before we go?
Well, I mean,
I don't know what there is to say.
It's awesome.
Stop spoiling it.
Well, as far as enjoyment, enjoyable movie, it was really, really good.
There's been a bit of a backlash because it was one of those movies that the critics all sort of loved. And then, you know, there's been...
I could easily see why there would be a backlash because it's not for the McDonald's, Walmart...
Doesn't have a message. It doesn't say like.
It's just a very pretty, fun to watch 90 minutes.
It's
of
all
a movie.
Style for sure.
And I loved the 80s music. A lot of synthesizer 80s.
Was it M83? Because M83 has been not putting soundtracks to movies like Michael Mann.
I don't know what that is. That's way too hip for me.
You could if you go to iTunes, you can. There's one song they play multiple times. There's a song they play at the beginning, and it was just super enjoyable. Very. No shaky cam at all.
Yeah,
which was very enjoyable.
It was like so far to the opposite end of the spectrum that like there is like there'll be just such a slow tracking shot where you're almost like peeking around the edge of the screen because it's like,
ooh, I like
you know where it's going and it's so slow and you're like, ah, God, and you can't wait for it to get to where you know it's inevitably going. It's like those koi calls where he has an endpoint in mind, but he's just sort of treading water and fucking with you the whole time.
Yeah, and there was never a point. The only thing that's even mildly unenjoyable was the main love interest from Wall Street 2.
Yeah, I don't like her.
She bugs me.
I don't like Carrie Mulligan.
The baby gecko in her pussy.
Yeah, I forgot about that. That's right.
Yeah, she's got a baby gecko.
I'm looking at Vince's bookshelf, and he has Public Enemy number one, and I'm disappointed because I looked at it real quick, and I thought it said Police Academy 1, and I got really excited.
That was when Amy was interning at a management company, and this rap dude had like an entire movie that he'd self-produced, what is that one?
Then the one next to it was Making the Paper Stack.
Yeah, Making the Paper Stack. Yeah, Making that Paper Stack.
Smokey Smoke. Yeah, which, by the way, is still in the original packaging. It has not been unwrapped.
Yeah.
Oh, it's got his bio on the back. Smokey Smoke, president/CEO and underground rap superstar of SS Records. Does he know what that means? Makes his acting debut and proves that his talent as an actor is as promising as his successful music career. If his music career is successful, why does it need to say it's promising?
And Vince, by the way, just a disclosure, he kept it in the wrapping because it's a collector's edition. Yeah. So.
This is great. SS Films presents a film by Smokey Smoke. Directed by Smokey Smoke and Adam Lyons. Executive producer, Smokey Smoke. Edited by Adam Lyons. Written by Smokey Smoke.
It was one of those things where this guy had a whole binder full of like stuff that he'd self-produced. And I was like, man, if I just had 1 ounce of this guy's stick-to-itiveness and drive. Cause
stick-to-itiveness, that's folksy.
Yeah, I was trying to think of a better word, but I'm kind of drunk.
Do you guys want to know what it's about?
No.
Making the Paper Stack is a motion picture written, directed, produced by, and starring Smokey Smoke. It's a drama comedy based on life in the hood and how sometimes people get lucky. Surviving the street life of his hometown of Austin. That was a sentence. Smokey Smoke takes us through the journey of life as it goes down in the tough streets of a city that's known as the live music capital of the world. Live, if only for a moment. The suspense, action, and undermining that exists during one man's struggle to escape the ghetto and find a better life.
Yeah,
I definitely don't want to see that.
All right, well, we got to wrap this up because I got to put that interview at the end. It's one of those things. If you guys don't want to listen to it, whatever. I was there. We put it at the end because
you can suffer like Vince did at the round table.
And, you know, it's interesting. It's not. It's definitely not the Frock cast. Otherwise, if we put it earlier, if you want to listen to it, go ahead. If you get bored, fucking
definitely see Drive.
Don't listen to it. But and the interview is with Seth Rogen and Will Reiser, who was. The writers of 50/50, which is about, it's based on Will Reiser, who got cancer in his 20s, and it's just sort of about two dudes in their 20s, one of them gets cancer. It's actually a really good movie. I really enjoyed it a lot, so I may have a review up tomorrow if I can manage.
Today.
I don't know if
I
will.
A review up today.
I'm going to try. It's one of those things I saw. I hate it when they do press screenings like a month out from the embargo date, where like I saw this movie like a month ago. And then they're like, oh, yeah, you can't publish the review until... And so, oh, okay, I'll just put off the review. So then I saw like 5 movies in the meantime. So now I have to like try and go back and write a review.
I'm going to give you a piece of advice.
Yeah.
Just write the fucking review a month ago and then just save it.
That seems like the smart thing to do.
That's what I would do.
I saw 3 movies that week and I didn't find the time to write the review. And so now I'm screwed.
Yeah, you're effed right in your neared butthole.
Pretty good. Pretty good. It's like you want Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Anna Kendrick to fuck the whole time. And I'm not usually a fan of rom-coms, but I don't know, something about those two. You're just rooting for them to fuck the whole time.
Rooting for them to toot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rooting, tooting.
All right. Well, Brendan, take us out of here. Everyone, thanks for listening.
Yeah. Frockcast@gmail.com. Thanks for your emails, guys. And until next week.
Oh, do we have anything for them to send us this week?
I guess we could give advice.
Yeah. Okay. Any more questions? Those were fun.
All right. Cool. Till next week, good night and good chins.
It's part of the job, I would say.
I mean, we're talking a lot about our friendship, so it's a little bit easier.
On the grand scale of stuff to talk about, but...
We use each other.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not that bad, but it's not the most fun aspect of what we do by any means. But, it's okay.
If we were having to talk about the Holocaust...
Yeah, exactly, That's why we haven't made a movie like that.
Yeah.
That's the only reason.
No movie's about, like, an abortion clinic.
Yeah, exactly. We just don't want to talk about that, I think. But cancer is fine.
Yeah. Do you guys have any tricks or things to kind of keep things kind of lively if the same question comes up or if it gets
cocaine.
Boring?
Yeah, exactly. As you can tell, Will is very high on
cocaine. My question is for Seth. I was just wondering, do you think it's fucked up that you lost all this weight and you know Joseph Gordon-Levitt still gets to play the cancer patient?
I do a little bit.
Joe didn't have to lose any weight.
He didn't have to lose any weight. He might have even gained weight, I think. The answer is yes, I do.
And sub question, are you worried about getting typecast as the guy whose friend has cancer?
I am worried about it, but I think, you know, I'll do three more movies about that and then I'll call it a day. I have a few more diseases to hit, though.
Yeah, well, this is a franchise. So
exactly, yeah. It's like Lord of the Rings.
So, the movie's got an autobiographical element to it, from what I've read. And I'm just wondering how much of Adam's character really is you, Will, and how much of Kyle's character is Seth.
Well, the movie itself is fiction. Right. It's inspired by, you know, I had cancer 6 years ago. Seth was there with me throughout the whole ordeal, and the character of Adam is very, you know, he's definitely an extension of me. There are some slight differences in the character, but his arc definitely, you know, matches. I used to be a really neurotic, worrisome, kind of angsty.
The specifics are you never jogged.
I used to be a big jogger, yeah.
You were a big jogger.
Yeah. We just never jogged together.
I guess you never invited me to go jogging.
Really.
But you did smoke.
I used to smoke cigarettes.
You weren't as healthy as the character.
No. I'm way healthier now than I used to be.
Yeah.
But I was just kind of like, I was a really like, I worried a lot. You know, I complained a lot. You know, just like, and in the way, like, Joe's character is just always worried about something. And through the process of, you know, having cancer and getting better, I kind of let go of all of those things that I used to worry about. I didn't realize it, you know, a month after I had my surgery, but I, you know, it took a few years, but just the process of kind of going through it all kind of definitely changed me in the way that Joe's character changes. And our friendship was very much that dynamic where he would just be, you know, insensitive and make fun of me a lot, that was our rapport. You know, but I mean, that's how friends are. You know, is you kind of make you make fun of each other.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, why did you decide to go with like a comedy angle for like this cancer movie, and like what were you guys' favorite lines from the movie?
What's your favorite line?
I don't know. I mean, the reason we wanted to. I mean, our experience was funny, I guess, is why we thought to do it like this. And that's really the whole reason we wanted to make the movie, is we realized that, you know, people kind of see an experience like this, if you're a movie fan, through the lens of a movie. And I remember when we were living it, we were like, there's no movie that we can reference that kind of feels like what this is. Because, like, Will didn't lose his sense of humor. We're all comedy writers. So, you know, when the people that you are hanging out with at the time are me and Evan Goldberg, my writing partner, and we worked with Sacha Baron Cohen at the time, and like, I mean,
we've always found humor in any situation.
Yeah, so I mean, so our experience was very funny.
That was our coping mechanism too. We didn't like sit around and talk about our feelings. We didn't know how, you know.
Yeah.
So you know, people would people's impression of what cancer is based on movies they've seen, and every movie that is about cancer has, you know, it's very sad, it's very melodramatic, it's, you know, and the person always dies at the end. It's like they have some great, like, moment of clarity and then they die.
Yeah.
They, like, make amends with their, like, their son who they haven't talked to in 40 years.
And then they die. And that's not what happened to us, and so that's why we thought it could be.
I still have a relationship with
exactly.
My son.
Will and his son have a wonderful relationship. And even though Will died a few years ago, that's okay. So that's why we wanted to do it, because we were just like, it was funny for us also. Why not also show that it's funny?
And Yeah. Just make something that we related to.
Yeah.
So if you had to pick a favorite cancer movie other than this one, what would it be?
Well, Terms of Endearment is an amazing movie, yeah. So I can't.
It is a great movie.
We're going to classify that as in the genre of cancer movies.
It's a safe answer.
It's nice.
It's a very safe answer.
There's a French movie, I think it's called Cleo in the Afternoon, something like that. And it's just about a... is it Cleo
in the Afternoon?
Is that what it is?
It's
about a woman who basically, it's like you follow her as she's waiting in the afternoon to find out the results of her cancer. And that's a really good movie. I saw it a long time ago, but that's also another good cancer movie. Probably you. Film's not like
that. You want a more international answer.
So Will, you borrowed from your own experience in the film with people feeling the need to walk up to you and say very personal things when they find out that you had cancer, and that also happened with Adam in the film. Are you concerned now, having made a giant movie out of that experience, how many more people will come up to you and say personal things about cancer and their personal
experiences? Yeah, I really kind of set myself up for that one.
You walked in.
I did not expect that at all.
I've been yelling at Will as he complains about it, actually. I said, you should maybe don't make a movie about it next time if you don't want to talk about it. I got a lot of guys talking to me about weed.
It's really nice. I mean, it's really wonderful that people, like, you know, feel like they can now share their stories, and that because I feel like, you know, there are so many cancer patients and survivors who go through this really difficult traumatic ordeal, and no one knows how to relate to them. And I feel like this movie really speaks to them, and they connect with it because it feels very close to their own experience. So that's really nice. And you know, the fact that it's quite overwhelming, the number of people who now share their stories with me in person or in email. And, you know, I mean, it's flattering. It gets a little overwhelming because it's, you know, we were just trying to make a movie that, you know, people would like. I didn't necessarily set out to, you know, we didn't know that it would be such a relatable movie, but it's, you know, it's validating. It's, you know, it's gratifying, yeah.
Why the title change, if I could ask? I know it was I'm with Cancer.
That was going to be my question.
Well, you know, I'm with Cancer is a potentially repellent title. As someone who, you know, after going through great lengths to make an inclusive movie, and a movie that everyone could enjoy, it seemed counterintuitive to then give it a title that could potentially drive people running away from the movie theater. And I don't even think that title... I mean, 50-50 is not, you know, the greatest title for a movie of all time. I'll be, you know, very honest about that. But it's not repellent. And that kind of became our goal. You know, I think I'm with Cancer is a more edgy title than the movie is. I mean, I think that is honestly taking an attitude.
Yeah, like Harold and Maude, that had just been like...
I fucked an old lady. That would be edgier than the movie is. Yeah.
And then she dies.
Yeah.
I feel like titles, you kind of have to go a little generic.
Exactly. Sometimes you have to be. Sometimes the movie itself is the risk that the title, you don't need to take a big risk on.
50-50 was basically the one. We had a list of over 900 titles.
We literally had a box on set for the crew members. And it was like we were going to pay like $5,000 to someone who was able to come up with the title.
It was $500,
I sweetened it. I mean, we were getting desperate. I mean, it was getting crazy. But
the 50-50 was honestly was the only title that did not offend it was not repulsive to anyone. Because it's hard.
It's hard to think of a title for a comedy about cancer.
I have to credit Bryce Dallas Howard. She was the
She's actually the first person. She actually suggested.
When we were on set, we were shooting the scene in which she is out with the dude with the dreadlocks. It was there while we were shooting that scene that she suggested 50-50. And at the time, we were kind of like...
Yeah.
And then I remember we were also thinking, like, what about the bitter ends? Like that.
Bummer. It's hard. Yeah, it's hard. Really hard.
We also have a dark sense of humor. So for us, what we find funny, you know, not everybody else finds funny.
So what was the title of? I mean, what was the file titled when you were writing the script?
Untitled Cancer Comedy. Which, by the way, I remember
we considered. Can we just call it that? It's not that bad. It kind of says it all.
When I showed up in Vancouver to get like my car rental for right when we started pre-production, there was a big packet for me like at the car rental place, and it said
know, Will Reiser, and on the top it said untitled cancer comedy. And the woman was like, a cancer comedy? And I was like, and I was so
at
embarrassed.
At least it's untitled.
Like, and I was like, well, we had another title.
Better than the I'm with
cancer. Like, and then she was like, well, what was that title? I said, I'm with cancer. And she went,
what's funny is, so we did a test screening of the movie, and at that time it had another bad title, Get Well Soon. I think.
There was Get Well Soon, Live With It.
Yeah, Live With It for a while. But what's funny is, so they do these focus groups at the end of the screening, and we wanted to know what they thought of I'm with Cancer. And so Evan calls the focus group lady over. In the middle, there's like 30 people there listening, and he whispers in her ear, did you ask them what they think of I'm with Cancer? And she goes back in front of the crowd. She goes, okay, I have another title they've been throwing around. Tell me what you think of it. What would you say if this movie was called I Have Cancer? And everyone was like, oh, God, no. Why would you call it that? We were all just like, oh, no.
I am legend. It was like red. She
that's what I was telling you. I am cancer.
I am cancer.
God. That's even worse. I am cancer. Anyway.
I forgot about that.
That was
Well, you guys were obviously talking about the repellent factor. You know?
Yes.
Yeah. What can stay and what can stay out. How do you guys choose what to show and what to keep out?
In what sense?
Yeah.
In terms of an audience sense, in terms of, you know, not repelling.
Like, to the humor?
And just how graphically sad it can get at times. Yeah. I mean, we test the movie. I mean, we're big believers of testing with audiences, and do so as many times as we can before we lock
the
picture.
But we also show it to friends.
And we have a lot of smaller screenings. We invite, filmmakers we know will hold screenings for any director we know that will sit down and watch the movie.
We screened it. We watched it with James L. Brooks.
We did a screening with Judd. We did a screening with Jim Brooks. We did a screening with, a lot of... just writers,
Michelle
and
Gondry,
stuff.
People we trust,
editors
we know.
I mean, just anyone we know that will come see it, we'll show it to. But as far as like, there's any jokes in the movie that we just listen to what gets laughs, and if people, and we do the focus groups at the end, and if everyone's like, "Fuck that joke," then we'll take it out. But
you make sure that it's never honest. Like, as long as like it can be funny, it can be dramatic, but it's got to feel real.
Yeah,
like, it's got to feel true to the moment and to those characters. And if it's just a joke for a joke's sake, or I mean, you know, like I definitely wrote some jokes that were too broad and got cut for sure, you know. And I think that was just a balancing act we figured out during the writing process, and then during the filming.
If you were filming the scene, you just feel like he wouldn't make a joke here, then.
But also sometimes you just go for it anyway, right. And then if it doesn't work, you just cut it out.
Yeah,
you
know?
Like, we didn't know the Patrick Swayze joke. We didn't know that. We knew that was a bit of a risk.
Yeah, we were very open to that not flying.
Yeah, because that balancing act is basically what keeps the movie in the middle. But does that ring true with the? I guess it's the old quote that goes something like, "When you make a movie, you make three different movies: the film you write, the film you shoot, and the film you edit."
Yeah.
Does the tone change in that, or was it always straight?
The tone. If anything, well, my first draft was a little too broad.
It was probably more comedic. Yeah.
It was a little more comedic. It had the dramatic beats.
But the funny stuff was...
There was so much humor infused in certain scenes where we didn't need it, that it just felt a little too funny, was probably an easier read.
I think the movie got more and more... Yeah, exactly. I think when you're reading, especially when you're writing... comedy about cancer, like, you probably err on the side of comedy rather than cancer. Especially, but I think the script got more, I think the movie got more and more real and naturalistic as we went into filming and as we edited. Like, that's probably the progression it took. I think all the actors brought a level of reality to it, and actors are one of the best things that can happen to a script, because they really put a lot of
an
actor will think of the character in a way that as a writer you kind of don't, because like they view it as a writer, you're kind of looking to serve the whole movie and the whole story, and actors in a good yet selfish way kind of are very protective of their own little character, but that's very helpful, because then they often come up with 100 ideas you would have never come up with, because they're the ones who are so invested in it.
Like for each of the characters, for like I had extensive conversations with
Anjelica Huston and Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Anna Kendrick and Bryce. And, you know, for each of them, when I would talk to them about the characters, they really took elements... they created those characters and made them their own, you know, and we talk about it, but they made them their own, and when you see them acting, and they're all so grounded and so good at what they do that once you start seeing these characters come to life, it definitely allowed me as a writer and for you as a producer to just see, like, you know, things that we could draw, things that we could focus on, you know. So, like, I was writing the whole way through while we were filming it, and a lot of that was aided by the fact that these characters had come to life and were so well.
We watch the edits as we're making the movie, so we can kind of also be informed by that and can see, like, oh, this is working, this isn't working. So yeah.
One question I had, like, if you I don't know how autobiographical this part was, but if you had a friend, if your best friend was, like, dying of cancer and you found out his girlfriend was cheating on him, do you think that you would want to tell him, or would you think that you would want to, like, not tell him to keep him thinking positive?
I would tell him.
Oh, yeah, I would tell him. Yeah.
I just know from experience that if you know someone is cheating on someone you know and you don't tell them, and then they find out that you know and didn't tell them, then you are fucked. So, that's for your own self-preservation. You should tell them so you don't look bad.
Yeah. So, Seth, you're a producer on the movie, and obviously there's the personal element, so I can only assume you had a lot invested in actually getting this made. But we had a lot... We've talked about, you know, the tough balancing act between comedy and cancer. I'm just wondering, what kind of challenges were there getting such a weird concept to the screen in a way that's accessible and can also be sold?
We set out with very realistic goals, and we knew this was different than the other movies we'd made, just in that, you know, it was potentially a little tougher to swallow. So, the first thing we did was not go to any major studios. We went to Mandate, which is an independent financer who doesn't distribute movies, they just pay for them.
And they were really passionate. I mean, the script kind of fell into their hands. They weren't really even shopping it. And they loved it.
Yeah, and they really pursued it. And the good thing is with them, we were able to get a deal that essentially gave us complete creative control over the movie. So we didn't really have to worry beyond that as to whether or not they were going to ruin anything. But they're all very smart people over there, so they wouldn't have anyway. But that was really... And then all the challenges beyond that come from just having agreed to make a movie that's way cheaper than the movies you normally make. I mean, normally we work in the $20 to $120 million range, and this was an $8 million movie, which is still, you know, a lot of money. You know, people make movies for much less, but it to us, you know, you just have less time, and you have less equipment, you have less locations, you have less crew members. I mean, you can't do visual effects, you can't afford music as easily, it's all that kind of stuff is what then becomes challenging. But that being said, this was one of the easiest movies I've ever
It was like making a student film, because it was us and our friends making a movie, and we didn't feel like
the fact that we were in Vancouver where I, me and Evan grew up also added a hilariously student filmy feeling to it.
Even Anjelica, who is, you know, older than us, she has a very, you know, youthful presence. I mean, she's, you know, she's like a lot of fun to hang out with.
Yeah.
So at no point did we ever feel like, you know, we were...
It had a lunatics running the asylum feel to it.
Like the studio was imposing their, you know, ideas on us. They really trusted us, and, you know, there were disagreements, but, you know, we usually prove them that...
But yeah, on a day-to-day basis, me and Evan were the bosses on set, which provides a pretty relaxed working environment.
Would you ever consider doing a serious role in a movie?
I did a movie with Michelle Williams and Sarah Pauly that Sarah Pauly directed that is more serious. It's not entirely serious, but there's more serious elements to it.
You were really good in that, by the way.
Oh, thanks.
I just
see
got
it?
Back from Toronto.
Oh, great. Oh, yeah. Thanks, man. I wouldn't, you know, if it seems like a movie that I would go see, or if it seems like a group of people that I really am big fans of, then I would do any kind of movie.
Would you do a serious cancer movie?
No, I would not do it. But yeah, I mean, I would, yeah, sure, I'd do anything. Why not?
I wanted to come back to the character of Rachel for a little bit. So I saw in the press notes you guys kind of been wanting to work with Bryce for a while, and this was sort of the culmination of that. And then the poor girl ends up playing another villain just like after the help, back playing another reviled character who teaches someone cancer. But I guess I was wondering sort of what function, like, I don't know how much of that was autobiographical, but what function you want her to play in the storyline, because it struck me while watching it that she was almost an outlet for the anger of Adam and Kyle, like the anger at the cancer, but to take that out on her, since you can't get, you know, you can't throw things at the cancer, you can't take an axe to the painting that cancer made for you.
Yeah.
But it does seem like a lot of just kind of vitriol was directed.
I mean, I always, from the very first draft, I always saw that character as sort of a cancerous type figure, mm-hmm. who basically, she, you know, like the way Adam, you know, Adam's a character who has no, like, he's very passive, you know, and he doesn't drive, and he sort of isn't taking control. He's a control freak, yet he has no control over his life. And the moment where he kicks her off the porch, that's the first moment where he's actually taking some control over his life. I always thought, you know, to me that was always symbolic of, you know, there was always a parallel between her and the cancer. Mm. Yeah, I mean, that character is, you know, it's like an amalgam of different people from my life, who, friends and family members who were, you know, close to me, who basically just, you know, didn't know how to handle the situation, and they basically just bailed, and it really sucked. And I think that happens to a lot of people, and I thought it was important to show that, you know, and I think that that storyline is really vital to Adam's growth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We have time for one more question.
Again, you guys are obviously, you know, doing these interviews back to back, but is there one question that you just wish journalists would stop asking you?
It's a good question. What do people keep asking?
I just always forget that people, like, well, I just never know what you people know and what they don't know.
Yeah.
We answer the same question, so it's just, you can't remember who you told what to.
Yeah, exactly. I very rarely feel. I don't like it when people ask me shit that, like, when they clearly write for, like, a fucking, you know, sports newspaper, and they ask me a bunch of fucking sports questions, or like a lady from L'Oreal asked me what my beauty tips are. Does that have to do with anything? Yeah.
Trivia questions.
Yeah, I like those trivia questions. I mixed
you,
it up.
You like?
It's better than fucking talking about you for 20 minutes.
That part
I don't want. Exactly. Will enjoys that.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, guys.